here tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 4 here in just a few moments. A couple of weeks ago, I started a series of messages about the power of God's Word and the power of our words, of course, when we speak God's Word. Amen. And so this has been a series of messages of how to build faith, how to release faith, how our words matter, how we speak God's Word. And we've been looking at over there in John chapter 1, in the first five verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then it says in verse 3, all things were made by Him. Right? Meaning Jesus, and it's a reference to the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. Because we remember John chapter 1, you go down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that's a reference to who? Jesus. And it says, all things were made by Him. And it says, and not anything was made by Him unless it was by His Word. Amen. And so we know this, that the Word of God makes things. And we said this, we said the Word of God not only makes things, but we added one more word to it. We said this, the Word of God makes things change. The Word of God makes things change. And we remember there in John 1:4, and it says, in Him is life, and the life of God's Word is the light of men. And it says, the light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. And so the light of the Word is made to live inside you and me. You know, the light of God's Word is meant to dwell within His people. And it says that that light shines in a dark place, and that darkness is changed. It cannot comprehend, it cannot apprehend you, right? And so we've been looking at all this. And so if you missed the last couple weeks and you want to catch up, you can go on our archives there on YouTube or our website or whatever. It's just been, you know, a time of building and releasing faith. Amen. This past Tuesday, of course, we're going to start a little differently than normal here tonight. But this past Tuesday, I had, you know, an experience with the Lord. And if you're newer here, I don't believe in grandstanding, you know, spiritual experiences. But as a minister and as a pastor, there's times that the Lord would have me to share, you know, something with you that He has delivered. And so I just have to be faithful. And you can believe it or not here tonight, or receive it or not, or receive it at whatever level you need to, but I just have to deliver this. And of course, don't ever just take a pastor's word for something. It's got to agree with the Bible. Amen. But this past Tuesday, I just had a supernatural experience with the Lord, and I'll be real straightforward. It wasn't during prayer time. I had already spent some time in prayer that morning, but Tuesdays are my day off, and I was getting ready to meet somebody for lunch, and just going about my, you know, normal routine. And all of a sudden, just the authoritative voice of God spoke to me, and He said some words to me, and I started to write it down, and this is what came of it. And so I just have to obey, and it also ties into the message we're going to hear here tonight. But the Lord said this to me very authoritatively. He said, lay your burdens down. And He said, tell my people that they are serving their burdens more than me. Well, ouch. Now, there's good news coming. Just hold on. And He said this, they are waiting upon their burdens more than me. They are serving their burdens in their minds, their thoughts, and their emotions. They are meditating upon their burdens, turning them over in their minds again and again. They are giving away their peace and their contentment, and as a result, they have allowed themselves to consider things they would have never accepted before. And then these two words were spoken to me with extra emphasis. It was very loud, almost like somebody was in the room with me. And if you've been around here, you know, for any given amount of time, I don't start service normally like this, just so you know. I'm just being faithful what I believe God would have me to do. But the Lord said this very boldly and emphatically. He said, consider me. He said, look upon me. Purge yourself of fear. Purge yourself from discontentment. He said, I am more than enough. He says, there are those even sitting here tonight that have made life decisions, occupations, relationships, and recreation that are not of the Lord because they have listened to their troubles. There are several who have parted company from the place that I have set them because they were full of burdens. They are now out of place and out of my will. Don't be taken by surprise by those who don't act like themselves. They are under the influence of seducing spirits and have fallen into sin. This is what can happen if you fail to lay your burdens down. Others are being carried away by winds of doctrine, and they are embracing false doctrine because of offenses, hurts, and burdens. Now here's where it got very positive. And he said this again. He said, lay your burdens down. Look unto me, the Lord said, and I will lift the yoke from off your neck. Is there anything too hard for me? I will restore you. I will refresh you. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Do not look unto the right or to the left. I am your shield. I am your reward. I will show you things to come, and I will restore your soul. I will give you rest. You will grow strong, and nothing will move you. You will grow strong and nothing will move you. Folks, how many of you know we've got to set ourselves aside? We've got to get into the presence of the Lord. We've got to fellowship with Him. I'm here to tell you, if we're not careful, we'll start serving burdens. You know, and all of a sudden we'll start serving, you know, our problems, and we'll give more weight to our burdens than we do to spending time with the Lord. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and this is me kind of adding on to this. It's just the impression I got when the Lord spoke to me this way, is that there's a lot of Christians that are waiting for their burdens to just go away on them on their own. They're waiting for time just to run its course, and hopefully the burden will go away. Or they're trying to purposely set their lives filled with extra activity, just trying to, you know, push their burdens out of their life. Folks, we got to go before God, and we got to tell Him, I'm laying this down before you. Lord, I'm entrusting you with this thing. Lord, I'm counting this handled and settled and forever settled right here and right now. I'm laying down the worry of it. I'm laying down the burden of it. I'm not going any further with it. Amen. Then on Thursday, so I had an interesting week apparently. So then on Thursday, and I'm very careful, and if you've been around here, and I've said this, I think it's, you know, if we're going to ever say the Lord said something, if we're going to quote the Lord, first of all, it's got to agree with the Bible, but we better be very careful that we're not saying that out of, you know, pride or trying to bring attention to ourselves or something. And for those of you that have been here a long time, you know that this isn't something I make a habit of doing. You know, but I'm just being honest with you, and I feel like I'll be disobedient to the Lord if I don't obey. But this past Thursday, again, there was nothing, you know, different that I was doing necessarily at the time. And the Lord gave me the title of tonight's sermon. And tonight's sermon, we're calling it Faith is for Conquering. And when He spoke to me, this is where I got the title from. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord said to me, faith is not for coping, faith is for conquering. Faith is not for coping, faith is for conquering. And we're going to talk about that here tonight. Go to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 4, and I'm going to share several verses with you here tonight. We're going to read this scripture, and then we're going to talk about some things. 1 John 5, 4, this is a very powerful scripture about faith, and this is the Apostle John. He says this, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God," and we could say it this way, "whosoever is born of God." Is there anyone here tonight that you are born of God? You remember, that means we're born again, we're born of His Spirit. That's when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He came in and recreated your heart. He made you new. You know, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. And so if you are born again, you are in that verse, for we are that whatsoever, right? We're a whosoever. And so this is talking about us. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. I like that. And this is the victory. Everyone say victory. That overcomes the world, even our what? Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Even our faith. And remember, over the last couple weeks, we've been taking a look at how faith operates. Faith speaks. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:13? It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak." Remember how we got saved in the first place. "For if you shall speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Notice we couldn't get saved without declaring Jesus is Lord. We couldn't get saved without declaring that he rose again from the dead. Jesus said this over there. Where was that? Matthew chapter 12, right around verse 36 and 37. He says, "For by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. A good man brings forth good treasure out of his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof." Proverbs 13, 2, "He that guards his mouth guards his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction." All right, boy, we could just keep on going with the scriptures. And so I love that scripture. It says, "He that guards his mouth guards his life." Boy, that's a powerful verse, right? And so we know this, faith or victory, now according to this scripture, is released through our faith, which is released through what we say. Jesus said, "Verily, verily." Remember what Jesus said over there? Can you bring up Mark 11:22? Mark 11:22. Was not planning on going here either. Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "Have faith in God." How do you have faith in God? Verse 23 tells us exactly by the words of Jesus how we exercise our faith. It's the same way we got born again, right? We believed with our heart. We spoke with our words. Amen. Jesus said, "For verily I say to you that whosoever shall what? Say." Do we have any whosoever's in here tonight? There we are again, right in the Bible. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." And so notice Jesus said to have faith in God, you're going to have to say something. Many Christians are waiting for God to move the mountain, but God told you and I to move that mountain. That mountain could be a hindrance or something that's, you know, trying to plague you or whatever it is, you know, trying to hinder you from God's path for your life. We have got to say some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we've been taking a look at that. So back over to 1 John 5:4 now. In 1 John 5:4, can we bring that scripture back up, please? 1 John 5:4 tells us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith. Even our spoken faith. The word faith in the Greek is the Greek word rhema. It means literally spoken faith. You're going to have to say something, right? Praise the Lord. And so we took a look at this. But real quickly, let's talk about, you know, some things here real fast before we dig a little further into this verse. We're calling this message, or I relayed, you know, part of it here, the title of the sermon, but the message that was given to me said that faith is not for coping, faith is for conquering. There's a big difference. And if we're not careful, boy, I'll tell you what, When I heard that word, of course, I did what every sincere believer should do, and I started thinking about my life and started thinking, where have I been just coping with God? Where have I just been coping with life? God doesn't want us to just cope with life. The Bible says over there in Romans 8:37 that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, right? Amen. And so I just started to look at that word cope, and you might be very familiar with it. To cope, it literally means to manage or just manage something. It means to just get by or just to put up with, all right? Or just, you know, manage to deal with something. Oh, boy. Does that sound like God? Does that sound like your Heavenly Father just to put up with something? Does it sound like God just to, you know, just to, well, I'll just manage. I'll just scrape on by. No, that sure doesn't sound like 1 John 5:4. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is not for coping. Faith is for conquering. Amen. You know, the word cope, it means to settle or to put up with. Or here's another definition, just learn to live with it. Learn to live with it. Now, we know there's obviously things that we learn to live with, the weather being one of them, right? And we know there's plenty of just mundane things in life. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about attacks of the enemy, things that come against the promises of God in your life. You know, I tell you what, don't learn to live with depression. I'm here to tell you, God's got something better for you. Don't learn to live with addiction. God's got something better for you. Don't learn to live with sin. All right, God's got something better for you. You know, we don't have to learn to live with anxiety or fear. We're delivered from fear, right? We can be the healed of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And so we know what we're talking about here is when the enemy tries to attack the promises of God in our life. Don't just cope with it. All right? Don't just cope with it. To cope means basically to concede that the circumstances have won the battle in your life. You know what I mean by that? Just to concede, well, the circumstances, this is the new normal. Are you here? All of a sudden, we'll start to believe that the circumstances in life are just bigger than you are. I'm here to tell you, the circumstances in life are not bigger than the God that lives on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. You are not here to cope. I'm not here to cope. We've all done it. I've caught myself doing that, you know, as I, you know, examined my life when I heard that. Absolutely. Many, you know, believers, if we're not careful, we find ourselves coping. Next thing you know, we'll use the Word of God just to cope. Or we'll use church just to cope. Or we'll use faith just to cope. Say, well, you know, I read my Bible just so I can feel better. Which, thank God, he wants you to feel better. You know, but don't misunderstand that. You know what I mean? But, you know, some people say, well, I just go to church for the uplifting music. And, you know, hopefully the pastor reads a lovely poem or something. Well, if you've been around here, not too many poems get read around here. We preach the Word of God, all right? You know, and sometimes we'll just find ourselves, well, you know, I read the 23rd Psalm just to cope. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, I'm just in the valley of the shadow of death. No, you're reading that the wrong way. You need to read the rest of it. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me, protect me, guide me. My cup runs over. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Faith is not about living in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death forever. It's about getting to the other side of that valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And so many times, though, we're just trying to cope, and we concede, and we just start to accept the enemy's attacks in our lives as the new normal. It is not what God wants us to do. Amen. And I'll be honest, folks, we're going to just say some things here tonight. There's a lot of the world that gets turned off with Christianity because they think Christianity is a crutch. You know what a crutch is? You know, if you've hurt yourself or whatever, you might have to, obviously, you're going to cope with an injury. That's okay. You've got to heal, right? And, you know, you might use a set of crutches to help you get around. But that crutch is obviously, you know, there to just temporarily, you know, to get you to a stronger place. But there's a lot of people that they look at Christianity and they think that people use it just as a crutch. They think that it's just a coping mechanism for difficulties in life. Folks, the world does not need to see a bunch of coping Christians. The world needs to see a bunch of conquering Christians that are full of joy, that are walking in the promises of God. And they need to see believers that are walking in the victory that overcomes this world. This world is evil, it is dark, there's a ton of problems, and somebody somewhere needs to shine some light and let people know they don't have to be destroyed by this world anymore. Amen. And so look at 1 John 5:4. We're going to get some things out of this. Now, tonight, usually I'm very much a teacher, and I have an outline, and I'll give you several points. I have no numbered bullet points for you here tonight. So take the truth that you need to, you know, and take it home with you. All right. Look at verse 4 here. It says, for whatsoever is born of God. Again, let's see your hand. If you're born of God, amen. That means if you're born of God, you have his nature. That means that literally that God's DNA, so to speak, is in you. You've been born into the nature of God, and the nature of God is victorious, and the nature of God is overcoming. Folks, please don't misunderstand me. There's going to be challenges in this life. There's going to be trials in this life. You know that. But here's the good news. We overcome those challenges. We don't have to camp out in them. We don't have to get depressed in the middle of them. We don't have to, you know, just try to cope through this life. So God's nature is on the inside of us. You were born into his nature. Praise the Lord. And so that means that you were born into overcoming. You know, by nature, you're an overcomer, God is saying. By nature, you are victorious. Because God's nature lives in you because you were born into his victory, born into his overcoming nature. Amen. You were born into it. You were born to overcome the wicked one. You were born to overcome sin. You were born to overcome darkness. Aren't you glad? You were born to overcome fear and trials and temptations, hardships, betrayals, attacks, hindrances, sicknesses, anxiety. You were born to overcome it. Glory to God. Amen. And there's victory in store for every single one of us. And we've got to remember that. The nature of God is to overcome. Do you think God is the one that copes? Is he the one that just barely gets by? Is he the God that just says, okay, this is the new normal? No, he is not that at all. God is a God of victory. Amen. Our faith is the victory. So what does that mean? It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What if you're in perfect faith and something doesn't change overnight? What if it doesn't change in a week? What if it didn't change as fast as you wished it would? I am here to tell you, change will come. Faith does work. Faith does change things, but it doesn't always change things on our timetable, all right? But see, the victory, the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The victory is when we stay in faith, even when we don't see the immediate change. See, on our side, we want to see the change. That's what means the most to us. But what means the most to God is that you keep, you know, exercising that faith. That's the most important part to God. Hey, can you bring up a verse for me? Can you bring up, where is that? 1 Peter 1:7. This is another scripture that's just playing on the inside. Wasn't planning on preaching this. He says this, the trial of your faith. Is there anybody that your faith has ever been tested before? We could ask you, is it being tested right now, right? We probably could get some hands. The trial of your faith, just so you know, if you're a Christian who's being tested in your faith, meaning you're being attacked in your faith, remember, James 1:13 says, when you are tried or tested, don't say it comes from God. God is not the one making that trial in your life. He told us that point blank in his word. So that trial could come from the world. That trial could come from the devil. That trial could just come from other people or maybe just some natural circumstances. Right? You ever had just natural circumstances? Folks, you do know there's not a boogeyman behind every door. You know what I mean? there's just natural things that happen on earth sometimes that wasn't God doing it, wasn't the devil doing it. You know, I'm not one of those Christians that try to find a demon in every negative thing, you know. You know, I've heard Christians stub their toe and they say they blamed it on a demon. No, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Watch where you're going. Sometimes this is more practical than that. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though gold is tried or tested with fire, your faith would be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God, you know, we want to get out of the fire, so to speak. It says that gold is tested in fire. Our faith is tested in fire. And let's just be honest. Fire, this kind of fire that tests our faith, isn't always fun. And let's just admit it. We all just want out of the fire as quick as we can. All right, but God is letting us know you don't always get out of the fire when you want. Okay, but what means the most to God? That you are walking in the fire, but you keep on walking in your faith. That faith, those words of faith, that when you're walking through a fiery trial, they come up before God like a sweet-smelling fragrance before Him. He loves, not because God is the author of the trial. You have to know and understand that. He doesn't author the trial. But when He sees you walking through a tough spot, but you just keep on releasing faith, amen, that means the world to God. God says your faith being released in the midst of a hardship is worth more than all the gold on this earth. Amen. We got to remember that. And so go back to 1 John, if we could. Chapter 5 and verse 4. Our faith is the victory. Say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm going through a hardship. I've been using my faith. Well, guess what? You're walking in the victory. See, we think the victory is when that thing changes. In God's mind, you're walking in the victory because you're still walking in your faith, even when it's hard. Do you understand that? Yes. Amen. That's good news. You don't have to wait, you know, for something to change to be walking in the victory. You know, some people, they wonder, well, what's going on here? Why isn't this thing changing as fast? Well, guess what? You're in the overcoming stage. You're in the overcoming phase of faith. You're on your way. You're on your way. God's going to get you there. Amen. Faith is the way we overcome, or what we're saying here tonight, faith is for conquering. Faith is for conquering. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith that is used for coping is no faith at all. Just, you know, just trying to cope, just trying to barely get by, just trying to manage. That's no faith at all. Oh my goodness. It really, what it is it's doubt. It's doubting whether God's going to show up and do something and make that move for you. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you here tonight? All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. God is good. I started turning in the wrong direction. 2 Timothy 4, let's start in verse 6. Here we go. These are the last words, literally, the last chapter of Scripture that was ever written by Paul the Apostle. Bible history tells us that within a day, two or three days after Paul wrote this, he was beheaded in Rome. And so these are literally the last words of Paul. And he says this, and you can tell it's his last words. He knew what was coming. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He said, "I'm going to be offered as a sacrifice to God." He knew they were going to kill him. He says, "I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He was leaving, and he knew. But remember, he wasn't upset. Remember what he wrote to the Philippians? He says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Yes. That's faith right there. He wasn't sad about it. He's like, hey, if I get to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Remember when he said that to the Philippians? He wrote that from jail, just like he's writing this from that prison in Rome. And look what he says in verse 7 of a familiar scripture to all of us. He says, "I have fought a good fight." Everyone say, good fight. He says, "I have finished my course." He says, "I have kept the faith." So notice Paul said this, and this is what we usually call the good fight of faith. The fight of faith. Now, would you say that Paul was challenged in his life? Yes. Do you think he went through some tests? Of course. He's facing death. He was imprisoned. I mean, we remember, you know, the book of 2 Corinthians, where he listed in chapter 8, he was pressed but not crushed. And then chapter 11, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten and stoned and he was whipped. Remember all that? That's a good fight of faith. Meaning he went through all of that and kept the faith. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Look at verse 8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to unto all them that love his appearing. So, of course, in just a couple of days later, Paul got that crown, right? When he was killed, he was murdered for his testimony in Christ. Go back up to verse 7 here. Let's take a look at this again. Notice in verse 7, it says, I fought the good fight, and we know that that good fight is a good fight of faith. Folks, do you think that you and I are in a good fight of faith? Yes, we are. Do we have a course that we need to finish for God? All of our course might look different. Of course it will. But we are all in the fight of faith. We know that. Amen. Or we could say it this way, the fight of overcoming, right? The fight of victory, if you want to say that. We saw 1 John 5:4. We could call it this here tonight, the fight of conquering. How many of you know there was a lot of things that Paul had to conquer in life just to get to that place where he was ready to say, I have finished my course? Why is there things that you got to get over in this life? Things you got to, receive from God, promises that you need to get from him, open doors that he has for you, opportunities. Why do you want to fulfill all the will of God in your life? Because at the end, you want to be able to say these words, I finished my course. I finished my course. All right? Sickness might come and try to attack you to try to take you off your course. Depression might come in and try to attack you to get you off your course. Temptations of sin could try to get you off your course. Making decisions of maybe taking the wrong job or moving to the wrong place, right, would try to get you off your course. Burdens try to weigh us down. So we can only think of those burdens in our life, and then we're not hearing the voice of our God clearly. And now we start adding things in our lives to deal with the burdens. We start seeking the world's ways. We start seeking everything else to help us feel better. We're supposed to find our fulfillment in Him. We're supposed to find our help and our strength from Him. Amen. Listen, I'm a former school teacher. I was trained in counseling, and I'm seeing more Christians nowadays seeking out therapy more than ever before. Go to God. I'm here to tell you, go to God. You know, get alone with Him and His Word and stay there until you get your answer. Listen, I'm not trying to criticize anyone trying to, find their help or whatever, but I'm here to tell you, God's got a way. Man, also in that scripture, where is that? Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You better know if you're taking counsel from anybody, they better know Jesus. They better know God and be able to know the Holy Spirit to tell you something good, to tell you what the Lord would have you to do or help you in that. You know what I'm saying? Blessed is the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Verse 2, it says, but we meditate in God's word day in and day out. Then we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. We will bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever we do shall what? Prosper. Why? Because we meditated in God's word. We got the answers from heaven, and we acted on them. And now God can move in our life. See, the goal is to fight the fight of faith so you can finish your course. There's going to be things that are going to be constantly thrown in your way. And that's why Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, he said, have faith in God. Speak to that mountain. Tell it to get out of your way because that mountain is trying to keep you from finishing your course. Are you getting a hold of this? Why is it called a good fight? Why is it called a good fight? I'm going to tell you why. Are you ready? Because it is a fight. We're all in it. We're all in it. And sometimes I wish I wasn't in it. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's stuff that hits you. Have you ever taken any punches in this fight of faith? I've taken some punches. Have you taken? I mean, we've all taken punches, right? All right? But we don't give up. We're all in that fight. But why is it called a good fight of faith? Because you wouldn't think a fight would ever be good. Well, the reason why it's good, because God is letting us know it's only good because you are heavily favored to win. I got good news for all of us that are in the fight of faith. It's not a fair fight. You are heavily favored. The devil cannot contend with the God who's living on the inside of you. He is defeated. He is beaten. He is stripped of his power. Let me show you some verses. Brother, you ready to let your fingers do the walking? You don't need to turn in your Bibles. Can you bring up James 4:7? Here's why the devil does not want to be in this fight with you. He knows you're heavily favored. Look at James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Just a little resistance. And what does it say? He, the devil, will flee from you. Why are we scared of this devil who is more scared of us? He just says, the devil wants nothing to do with a fully sold out believer. He does not want anything to do with them. Because he knows what this scripture says, the devil will run from you. Bring up Luke 10:19. Remember the words of Jesus? He said, behold, I give unto you power. The word power means authority. These are the words of Jesus. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the who? The enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This enemy that you're having this fight of faith with, he knows you can dominate him. He knows you've got authority over him. He knows the name of Jesus makes demons tremble. Where's that verse? Can you bring up 1 John 2:14? Look at this. And this is not just for men, by the way. This is for ladies, too. Sometimes the Bible's written from a masculine standpoint. He says, I've written unto you, fathers, mothers included, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Have you known Jesus who's from the beginning? Yes. He says, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Yeah. Boy, isn't that a good faith confession right there? I'm strong, and I've overcome the wicked one. I have authority over him, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I'm submitted to God. All I do is resist that devil, and he's got to run from me. All right, so now you know why it's a good fight of faith. You're heavily favored. We remember 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is the reference to the spirit of Antichrist in the first three verses of 1 John chapter 4. All right, so go back to 1 John, praise the Lord, or excuse me, 2 Timothy 4:7. It's a good fight of faith because we're heavily favored to win. But this is what the enemy needs to do. He's got to convince you or deceive you to bring you down to his level, to make you forget that it's an unfair fight, to make you forget that you have something greater. And I'm going to just tell you, one way, if maybe not the leading way, that the devil will bring you down is to get you coping in life. He will make you be convinced that, oh my goodness, I'm on the same level. I'm in this fight. I'm getting beat up. I'm just trying to manage. What fighter, what prize fighter? Now, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s in what was called the golden era of boxing. I was not a boxer, but I watched boxing, you know, growing up. And the dude that was tearing everybody up growing up was Mike Tyson, right? And, you know, you saw guys that were getting in the ring with him, and you could tell they lost before they ever got in there. They got in there, and their goal wasn't to win. Their goal was just to stay alive long enough so they could get paid after that bell rings, right? Remember that? And there were guys that, and of course, I didn't grow up in this era, but he was at the tail end of his career and already done. But remember Muhammad Ali? Remember him? Boy, did he run his mouth or what? But what did he do? He never went into a ring with the idea, I'm going to cope with this guy. He went in there every fight saying, I'm going to win. I'm going to destroy this guy. George Foreman's not too strong for me. And, you know, and he beat them all until he didn't. Until he got older and then he started to lose, right? But think about this. What major prize fighter ever went into a fight and said, you know what, I'm just going to try to manage. I'm just going to try to cope. I'm just going to try to get by. I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go in that ring and I'm just going to put the gloves over my face and just sit there in the middle of the ring. What's going to happen to a guy who goes into the ring and just sits there and does this? He's going to get destroyed. Because he might block a few punches, but as that big fighter just keeps working on him, and again, I'm not a professional fighter by any means, but they said this, if you're sitting there getting shot after shot and you're just covering up, if they just keep throwing a fury, you're going to have to throw some punches back. There comes a time where you drop your gloves and it's time to throw down. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians in life just sitting there and the devil's just boom, boom, boom. It's time to throw some punches back. It's time to respond with faith. It's time to resist him. It's time to get into the Word and start boasting about God and how big he is. Know him, know his Word, claim his promises. Are you here tonight? No good fighter said, you know what, I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to try to just cope with this. No. They got into the ring. A real champion got in there and said, I'm going to win. I'm the biggest guy in this ring. I'm the scariest dude in this arena tonight. You know, I'm telling you, the devil wants nothing to do with a believer who knows who they are in Christ, who knows how to speak God's word, and is fully submitted and obedient to the word of God. It's a good fight of faith because you're heavily favored to win. But remember, the devil's going to have to deceive you if you're going to take punches. I mean, if he's going to defeat you, he's got to get you to forget who you are. He's got to get you just coping or barely getting along in life. Woe is me. Life is so hard. All that stuff. Oh, life is so hard. All you're doing is covering up and that guy's going to wail on you. Oh, this is so bad. I hate my life. You're just doing this. You're hiding in that ring. My trial is so bad. It's so hard. But is it hard for God? No, not at all. Are you here tonight? We've all taken some punches in the fight of faith. But now it's time to throw some punches. Faith is how you throw those punches. Faith is how you throw those punches. Jesus says, have the faith of God and speak to that mountain. Speak at that enemy. Speak to that attack in your life. Get into the Word of God and let your own heart hear the Word of God coming out of your mouth. We're going to show you this here in just a moment. Go to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans 8. We're just going to read these scriptures. Praise the Lord. Don't you love Romans 8? Boy, we love Romans 8. You know what? I was going to start in 35. Go to 31. Again, just other verses that tell us it's an unfair fight. As a Christian going up against the enemy, I'm a super heavyweight and he is a featherweight. The enemy, Satan's defeated. He's done. Jesus took him out. It's just a matter of now, are you going to believe it? Let's read these scriptures here. Paul, the apostle, writing this to the Roman church, and he's writing it to all of us by the Holy Ghost. He says this, what shall we say to these things? That's a good question. Notice he didn't say, what shall we think about these things? He said, what shall we say to these things? Boy, you start to realize over and over, the Bible is just constantly telling us to speak something. Listen. Your words are going to take you to the future. What shall we say to these things? And this is what he says. If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, God's on our side. He delights in seeing you prosper in every form and fashion. He delights watching your life increase and be blessed. He loves, God takes pleasure in watching you be filled with joy. He takes pleasure in watching your marriage prosper. Amen. Let's read verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? What limit is there on what God wants to do for you? If he gave you Jesus, he wants to do so much more for you. God loves to demonstrate his word in your life. Now go to verse 35. Drop down there. Now we're just going to read a few verses here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that means extreme troubles or trials, tribulations, distress, persecution, that means the hate of others, famine or economic collapse, nakedness or poverty, peril or sword? None of those things separate you from God's love. None of it. Aren't you glad? See, now that's your answer here. We're going to get that answer. Look at verse 36. It says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He's saying that that's how it feels sometimes, right? That there are attacks that come against us that absolutely feels like we're just being hit all the time. But he reminds us in verse 37, here's the answer. Can you bring up verse 37? No. Why does he say no? Now, I know in the King James it says nay, and he was just talking about sheep in the previous verse, but that's not what he's doing. He's not imitating sheep. That word nay means no, meaning you aren't just up for slaughter. See, a lot of people quote verse 36. They say, see, life is just nothing but being slaughtered. It can feel that way sometimes. You ever been there where you just feel that attack or that pressure? But he says, no, you're not going to be slaughtered all the time. You're not just going to be taken out. In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. It's a conquering faith. It's an overcoming faith. It's a victorious faith. Amen. How are we going to walk in this victory? Amen. Because we are going to have a revelation of how much we're loved. How much we are loved. Do you believe that? What if we said that God loves me? Does he love you? He loves you. Boy, I tell you, can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? I love this translation for verse 37. Yeah, amid all these things, sometimes you're in the middle of all these things. He says, we are more than conquerors and we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Wow. It is not wrong. Actually, just the opposite. Everything right in going to God and saying, Father, you love me. Father, through your love, I've gained a surpassing victory. Father, through your love, I'm an overwhelming overcomer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to have victory? See, it doesn't just say that you're a conqueror. It says you're more than a conqueror. Amen. Praise the Lord. It doesn't say you're a coper. It doesn't say you're a barely getting along. It doesn't say maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. No, it says you're going to gain a surpassing victory. More than enough. Praise the Lord. How are we going to have this victory? By knowing that God loves us. All right? Now we're going to take it one step further. Get a picture of who God is. Meaning, build that in your heart. And the way you do that is that you find scripture that tells you who he is and what he does. You know, I brought actually something with me here tonight. I have this little booklet. It was just on my desk. Apparently, we give some money to the Wounded Warrior Project, and, you know, they give you little promotional items and whatnot. We love to support our vets and so on. But this little, like, little tiny little notebook, the little composition. Remember these little composition books, you know, in school? How many of you grew up with those things, you know? I was a school teacher, and all the kids had these things, and this is just a little tiny version of that. It only has a few pieces of paper, but I just started taking, I was like, I'm going to use this, and I like to just write scripture down, so I just started writing verses down that as I was meditating in the Word, verses that just really spoke to me, and things like that, And recently I have felt very led to start just taking some scriptures that talk about the greatness and the might and the power of God. And I have a couple. I'm just going to read them. You don't need to follow along with me. These are just some verses that will absolutely let us know how great and mighty our God is. And remember, this God lives on the inside of who? You and I. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, it says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the stars." I like that. God says, take a look at me and see me as the creator of all those stars that you've ever seen in the sky, or all the pictures you've ever seen of outer space. And then it goes on to say this. He says, "See the one who leads forth their host by number." He says, I've got all the stars numbered. And then he goes on to say this. "He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one star in the cosmos is missing." This God who lives on the inside of you has numbered every star and every galaxy that they ever look at with that big telescope they've got floating around there. You know, he's named them. He's numbered them. And now it says he leads them out like a captain leads an army. This is your God. This is who lives on the inside of you. Here's another verse. Jeremiah 32, 27, he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I love that verse. God made every cell in your body. He made every fiber of your being. He knows how to bless the human body. He knows how to heal the human body. He knows everything about it. And he says, there's nothing that you're facing that is too big or too hard for me. Glory to God. You know, you're in Jeremiah 32. Why don't you drop down to verse 17? That's a great verse, too, since we happen to be there. Look at this verse. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and your outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you." Glory to God. What if we start talking that way? Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. You live on the inside of me. This thing that I'm facing, it's not hard for you. I'm going to lay my burden down. I'm going to lay it down and set it aside from the worry and the panic. And I'm going to believe that nothing is too hard for you. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. It says that God holds the waters, or literally the oceans, in the cup of his hand. It says that he weighs mountains in the scales. That same passage says that he measures the amount of dust that's on the earth. He knows how many particles of dust there is. The Bible says he knows the numbers, he numbers the hairs on your head, right? And so I'm here to tell you, nothing's hard for him. See, the devil wants us to believe, oh, it's going to be tough to believe God for that. But folks, see, the reason why God has to say things like this, nothing's too hard, because so often we settle for a lesser faith and we just decide to cope. I'll just accept it. I'll just manage it. This is the new normal. And God's shouting out saying, wait a minute, I'm your reward. I'm your shield and your provider. He said, nothing is too hard for me. Don't stop short at believing what God said he will do. Praise the Lord. Let's see what other verses we got in here. Praise the Lord. Oh, here we go. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth." How'd that happen? I don't know, but he did it. It says, "And the heavens," or the stars, or the universe, "is the work of your hands. The stars and the heavens will perish, but you remain. And they will all become old like a garment." And I'm reading out of the New American Standard, by the way, if you're desperately trying to find the exact translation, we might not have it. And he says, "And like a mantle," or literally like a piece of clothing, "God rolls up the universe, and the heavens shall be changed, but God is the same, and your years," the Lord's years, "will never come to an end." The Bible says that he folds up the universe like we fold our laundry. That is the God who you're dealing with. That is who is on the inside of you. Why are we sometimes caught in this place where we're just coping? Why do we settle for less? Nothing is too hard for this God. Amen. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he takes personal joy and care over everything in your life. Amen. Faith is not for coping. Faith is for conquering. And I'll tell you what, if we just start to look at life, well, I'm just going to manage. Folks, I refuse to live like that. I refuse to live like that. And I'll tell you what this world needs to see. It needs to see people, believers, just like that are in this room now, that will just one by one start to just, you know, spend time in God's word, start speaking that out, and they'll see your strength and they'll be drawn to the things of God, because the world does not want to follow something that's weak. Have we learned that? They do not want to follow weakness. They want to follow something that doesn't just cope with life. They want to follow something that conquers this life. And the good news, we have that in our Lord and our Savior. Did you get something out of this here tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor, I'm just coping. I'm just dragging through something. I'm just managing. Listen. God's merciful. He's patient. We've all been there. But when it's time to use our faith, faith is not a coping faith. Faith is a victorious faith. And remember, if you're in faith, even if the challenge hasn't changed, that's the victory. Don't think the victory in your mind, you know, the victory in God's mind is that you're in faith even when it's tough. We think the victory is when we get what we want.
Right.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
But if you're just walking in faith, you have that victory.
Amen.
And that change will come. Remember what Job said? Where's that verse? Where is that? Yeah, where is that? Job 14:14. Job, a man from the far east, a man who had no covenant with God, had no Bible, had no pastor, had no church, knew nothing about God, said one of the most incredible things. He's talking about himself here. He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? That's interesting. Job at this point had just lost it all, crushed, thrown into the dust, lost his kids, lost his possessions. And his wife, the one thing he didn't lose, was sitting there accusing him, right? And of course, we know that now Job didn't even realize that he was prophesying about Jesus. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, he did. But look what Job said. He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. He said, I might be down in the dust. I might be scraping boils with a potsherd, a sliver of glass. He said, my life has been crushed. He said, but it ain't going to be crushed forever. He said, I'm waiting. My God is going to turn this around. Why do we always look? The Bible tells us, you know, in the book of James, it tells us to look at the end of the Lord, what God did for Job at the end. What does it say over there in Job 42? Where is that verse? Verse 10? Job 42:10? Try that. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. When Job finally started praying for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much of what he had before. There is our abundant, generous God who rewards faith in the midst of the fire. None of us have sat in a fire as hot as Job did. And Job said, I don't even know why all this is happening. All I know is I'm going to wait until my change comes. How awesome. So the victory does not have to wait until the change shows up. Maybe you're in the waiting part. That's just fine. Still walk in that faith. Get some out of this here tonight? That's my message. I'm sticking to it. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. Father God, we praise you. Father, we have nothing without you. You are the master. We are the stewards. We own nothing. You have everything. And Lord, we love you. And we want to be faithful stewards, and we just glorify your holy name. Father, we know faith is not for coping. Faith is for conquering. Father, you said that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The next verse says, and who is he that is an overcomer, but he that has declared that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We are overcomers. Lord, you said we're more than conquerors because you've loved us. You said that we would resist the devil and he would flee from us. You said that we'd have authority over the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt us because we use that authority in Christ's name. Lord, you said that the word of God would abide in us and we have overcome the wicked one. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we know that we're in a good fight of faith, but we're heavily favored to win as long as we don't cope, as long as we don't get into that ring and just cover up our faces. But if we'll get into that ring and we'll throw some punches, yeah, we know and understand that we take some punches at times. Life hits us. We see that. But greater are you on the inside. Father, our great God, who literally has numbered all the stars, who holds oceans in his hands. Father, that's who you are. You are the God of all flesh, and nothing is too hard for you. You are the one that literally measured the size of the universe. And it says that you pitched the heavens like a tent to live in. Lord, you know all the names of all the stars, and not one of them is missing. How much more do you care for us that you shed the blood of your Son that we could be your sons and daughters? We should never worry again. We should never doubt ever again that you want to do something on our behalf. You are so faithful, Lord, we thank you. And with all eyes closed and every head bowed before we dismiss, please ask yourself this question right now. Have I made Jesus my Lord and Savior? If I were to die today, would I be in heaven with the Lord, or would I be separated from God in a place called hell? Here's what a lot of places don't want to say these days, but I'm going to tell you because I love you. There is a hell. Hell is real. Jesus said that hell is a place where the flame is never quenched and the worm never dies. That's the words of Jesus. But here's the good news. Heaven is real. We can be born again. We can go to heaven someday. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can speak those words of faith. God will hear you. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to send anyone over to you. This is between you and God. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord. My sins are washed. If that's you and you've never made that decision, I'm just going to simply ask you to lift your hand so you can take a small step towards God. When I see that hand, I'll just have you put it right back down, and I'll lead everybody in a prayer. Eyes closed, heads bowed, everyone praying at once, and right there in your seat, you could invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone that would say, I'm uncertain about my eternal destiny? Please get certain if you are uncertain in any way. You say, well, Pastor, I've been a really good person. Well, good. Bible says there's none good. We can't save ourselves. We can only receive what he did through Jesus. Is there anyone here that you're unsure about your eternity at all? I don't see any hands. And I guess that doesn't surprise me because as I look around, I mean, I know almost everybody. Everyone seems to be walking with the Lord. Father God, if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice, whether in this room or watching by live stream, Father God, if they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we pray that they would not leave this earth until they accept you as their Lord. We pray that laborers would be on their path to share again the word of the gospel. And Father, we love you and praise you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet and we'll just rejoice and be dismissed. Father God, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your power and your might and your mercy. that is available to every single one of us. Father, we just say your blessing rests upon all that are here tonight. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.